into sports.
20 yards out, Urs to shoot, don't shoot! Oh, what a goal from Fabinho! Wow!
Then get into the all-new OTB Sports app.
I think when he apologises to me, I probably will say hello to him, yeah. No, I'm...
Videos, sports news, live scores, interviews.
If Fabregas is going to come up to me in the street and give me some of the mouth that he would have given me on a football pitch, what would he do? He'd get a slap.
Plus, exclusive content on the OTB Podcast Network. The biggest names in sports. Ready when you are. Search OTB Sports on your app store and download it now.
The OTB Podcast Network.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power,
fueling the mischief in the beautiful game.
Gamble responsibly. See dunluey.net.
So Olivier Giroud, huh?
Yeah, a bit weird watching it tonight, Chelsea, because they deserved a draw, maybe, Chelsea. They certainly didn't. They weren't the better team by a distance. Nothing like that. You're talking about that great run they're on just now. But the last couple of minutes, Frank Lampard makes a bunch of changes, and he's pretty good at that. His changes, A, either he's lucky, B, he's either very good at, you know, making changes, or C, he's got one hell of a squad. So when other people are getting tired, he can bring quality players on. So Kante won the ball. He would come on as sub. It was played on to Ziyech. Ziyech had come on as well. He played the ball through. And the shot by Werner was knocked up in the air, and Giroud nodded in, and he'd come on. So three subs had combined to make that goal and get Chelsea through. But they hadn't been brilliant. They'd just been okay. And once again, Werner missed an absolute sitter from about 5 yards. And of course, he missed a bunch of them against Newcastle at the weekend. And it's one of those interesting things where, and I'll ask you this question, see what you think. I don't know if you saw Werner's misses against Newcastle. But they were. I mean, four really bad misses. So did he have a great game or a terrible game? And I don't know, because you have to get into the right positions, and he kept on doing it, and then he made the second goal.
Yeah.
But then he missed some absolute sitters. So you thought, did he have a good game or have a bad game? I kind of don't know.
And what's his reputation previous to arriving at Chelsea, where I wouldn't have seen him week in, week out, I must confess? Was he regarded as a finisher?
Yes. No, he is a finisher. No, 100%. He's a classic finisher. But he's playing out in the left wing at the moment for Chelsea. The weird thing about him, do you know the weird thing about Werner? If not watched a lot of him, you'll look at him and he's got this kind of, he's kind of, the way he moves, he scuttles. He doesn't run, he scuttles, right? Yeah. But he's lightning quick. But I'm only telling you that because people have told me. I look at his body shape and go, really?
I know.
I don't see it. But there's some guys that are a bit like that, that you've no idea why they're so quick. I used to play against Stevie Nicol, and he was the same. You think, some guys, you just think, how are you so quick? You just look all wrong, your body shape's wrong, you move wrong. But he is absolutely lightning. So he's a definite danger man for them. But they weren't great tonight, but they managed to kind of sneak the win, which was enough for Chelsea.
It's 6 clean sheets in 7. Well, now 8, actually, if you include this evening. So it's starting to come together for Lampard, you would have to say, and they're sitting and not very nicely positioned in the Premier League as well. Mendy is in goals. That seems to have been an improvement. The new players are settling in. What's his best 11? Does he know yet? Is that an irrelevant question in 2020? Is a talk of a best 11 just a quaint artefact from a different era?
Do you know, it's interesting you should say that, because they named their team tonight, right, Chelsea, and then they named the substitutes. And I looked at the substitutes, and I'm going to have a look at them here. So the substitutes was Kepa, all right, decent enough goalkeeper, not everyone's favourite, but Rudiger and Christensen. Two good centre-backs. Alonso, you know, top centre. Kante, Tomori is another centre. Giroud, Ziyech, James, Havertz. And you're thinking, that's good enough to start. Every one of them. Mm. If you put them and that was the starting lineup, you think, yeah, fair enough. So the thing about them is the strength and depth is absolutely stunning. What they've got just now, it's ridiculous. And it's getting them all fit at the same time and getting the best out of them all is, you know, you'd think that's an important thing, but it's not for Chelsea because they've got loads. They've got absolutely loads they can get bring in. It's how much of it's luck, how much of it's judgment, because they've got all those youngsters that came through, and Mason Mount really played well tonight. You know, Tammy Abraham's playing tonight. You know, Hudson-Odoi actually played probably his best game for quite a long time tonight as well. Mm. So you get all those kids. You get half a team of kids. You'll get a decent team that was left over, and you bought half a team. It's kind of no bad, you know. It's the, you know, and I know the next question: can they win it? Huh. You know, and it's now a reasonable question. It is a reasonable question because there is enough good players there. There is enough quality. Man City and Liverpool are extremely good still, but are they as utterly dominant as they were last season? We wait to see, but I doubt it. So it's an intriguing thing going forward. I still think they're outsiders, Chelsea, but I think they are definitely. I heard Shearer saying it the other night. They're absolutely in the conversation.
Yes, they certainly won't be 33 points behind Liverpool this season, we can say that much. So for somebody like Tammy Abraham with this 250-odd million euro investment, and you know he must get sick of seeing this door and who's going to walk in next. He was their top scorer last season, obviously, and scored 18 goals, which isn't prolific, but it ain't terrible for a guy making his way in the game. Much of the papers in advance of the game today was, you know, about Abraham and his future and keeping somebody like him happy. Is it worth his while sticking around? What's your read on Abraham?
At the moment, he's actually seems great. And of course, at the weekend, he played up front and Werner played wide and they had a brilliant understanding. Problem is, Pulisic will come back, he'll go wide and Werner will move central and Abraham will be back on the bench. I think that's... You're talking about his best team. I think that's what's in Frank Lampard's mind. Ziyech is a stick on the right-hand side. So you asked the question about Abraham. You asked the same question about Hudson-Odoi, who played well tonight, the best player in the first half. But he'll have to move out. He'll have to make way. So they've all got that thing. I'm kind of hard, old school and hard about this sort of thing. Do you know what? Just be good enough. Just be good enough. If you're not good enough, you've not really got a complaint about it. Then you either... You know, make the best of the opportunities you get, which will be some, but not all, and you'll be second string possibly. Hope for an injury, or then you make your way somewhere else. And it all depends on the individual. It absolutely all depends on the individual, what they do. For Abraham, I think wherever he went from Chelsea would almost be a step down. I don't know if he'd get a United or a Man City, so it's a tricky one for Abraham.
Yes, it is. And one last one on Chelsea then. So the defensive improvement, what are we putting that down to?
The French connection, to do a movie drop line. Mendy at the back has been great. He's really unorthodox as a keeper. He made a save tonight. Honestly, it's hilarious. He was juggling in the line with his foot and his elbow and his arm. It was ridiculous. But him, Zouma is looking much more confident. He'll never be a classy player on the ball. But when he's got Thiago Silva beside him, honestly, watching Thiago Silva's a real joy. So it's all kind of fitted in well. And of course, although Thiago Silva's Brazilian, they've got that whole French thing, central, where they've all played in France. They all know each other. And it works. And if you stick N'Golo Kante in front of it, then you've got this kind of real diamond there where everybody kind of works off each other. So it's kind of lovely. That's the whole thing works.
Yeah, it seems to. I mean, it must be a lovely thing when the chemistry works and you're all realising, oh, this fits, thank God. We're not going to have to spend hours working this and it'll never quite work anyway. Reece James, for instance, I saw him talking about Silva saying, actually, he's a bit of an on-field coach and you need, obviously, somebody to be vocal in that defensive line. For some reason, I hadn't pictured Thiago Silva as that type for no particular reason, but Reece James was saying he's sort of, given his age as well, daddy of the group and talking them through the game.
Oh, it's really weird. I get in a habit. Quite often I watch games that I'm not always watching the ball. I spend a lot of time watching other people. And probably the player at Chelsea I would watch most is Thiago Silva, above all the rest of them, by a mile. Because when he's not on the ball, you look where he's looking, what he's doing. And he's got this phenomenal ability. I've talked to you about it before, this kind of Hansen-like thing where he always reads it, you know, and... but he is looking around while the ball's on its way in. You're thinking, no, you should have your eye on the ball. But he's already in his mind, mentally dealt with it. Had a look what he's going to do. Got it. And the ball's on the way in. And then he takes it, cushion headers it, moves out. There's just very, very few like it. And he is quite stunning. And he's reading the game. He's absolutely exceptional. His passing's brilliant.
Manchester United are playing this evening. I know you haven't seen the game. They are 3-0 up. The team, for anybody who didn't catch the team, back four of Alex Telles again. Luke Shaw still injured. Did you see any of the West Brom game? Have you seen enough of Alex Telles to have a verdict?
You know, early days yet, but I mean, it looks as if getting enough talent. However, like a lot of people, and I hate, it's one of my pet hates, But everybody wants to phone up and argue, moan about referees all the time and VAR, right? That's the two big things. But I tend to not speak about it as much. However, that was genuinely upsetting, watching that game, for what happened. Genuinely upsetting. Mm. When, right, this is what it's all for. There's a foul in the box, you know, and he's taking his Gallagher, is it? Out, and you think, oh, they need to check it. It's okay. You can see that. And he goes up and looks, and you think, well, it's okay. It's a penalty. And then he says no. And you go, what? Mm. Just like, how can you... I have no concept or understanding how he didn't understand that was a penalty. Because he clearly kicked him.
Yeah.
If you've ever played football and you've ever been on a football pitch, you see the way a player's leg moves. He kicked him. Mm. It doesn't matter. It's a penalty. It was so upsetting to see it. And then, of course, Man United get the penalty. I mean, I don't want West Brom to win and Manchester United. I don't care. I just like fairness. And then, of course, the penalty kick that they get at Manchester United, and you're thinking, yeah, letter of the law. It's just about a penalty. But the unfairness of that was horrendous. And then you add on top of that, just as a few hours later, the youngster for Brighton, Tarek Lamptey, has sending off. And I don't know if you've seen the second booking for that. And honestly, you just hold your head in your hands and you're thinking, Avery was the person who was saying, yeah, bring in the VAR, because we'll be able to check these things and make sure they don't happen. And then twice you've seen a young lad getting sent off totally incorrectly, 100% incorrectly. Penalty, 100% incorrect. We completely affected other games. And it's so upsetting to see it that they get the technology and they can't organise it. You can tell when I'm angry, I go Glaswegian.
I heard the canny. that's level 10. When you're dropping a canny, things are bad.
Exactly. I know, I can't help it.
So Maguire, Lindelof, Wan-Bissaka. It's gone quite an attacking lineup. With just Fred really is the most defensively minded midfielder, Van de Beek and Bruno, and then Cavani is leading the line. He's got Martial to his left and Rashford to his right. And I see actually Mason Greenwood is stripping off and coming on in a moment as well. So they're a slightly different team in the Champions League as well, but it's weird. You would wonder if Istanbul even spent 5 minutes watching the West Brom game, because what we've got here are the two back fours like a million miles apart, oceans of space, and Man United have cut through them this evening. But like the West Brom game was a pitiful effort on Manchester United's part to break them down.
I mean, it does surprise you, because you think that, but you have to remember who Bezic Sahir are. I mean, they're not Fenner, you know, they're not Bezic, because, you know, they're a team that are pretty new to this. I mean, some of the players that they've got playing, Chadley and Ba and things like that, these are not players that are in Skirtle there. You know, these are not players that are players that should be playing at a very, very, very top level still, you would think. Bolingoli as well, another one. And you just think, this is a team that actually probably isn't quite good enough for this level. So, you know, they could try what they like, but I think Manchester United, now and again you come up against some teams and they're just not good enough. And I think Manchester United have done the right thing, just go at them. And there's been a few teams like that in the Champions League. You know, usually there's one or two, or maybe even more than that at this stage. Certainly, I mean, well done. Kind of hurt slightly, because Bezic's here, they're Erdogan's team, aren't they? So it kind of hurts slightly for me, not to get all political on you.
No, I hear you.
They're not the most popular team in Turkey or indeed Istanbul, but they're a long way away from Manchester United standard.
And what about then the West Brom situation, where, you know, they huff and they puff, and West Brom, you have to say, are relatively comfortable under the circumstances. They still haven't kind of cracked that nut if a team comes and says, this is how we're going to pitch up. I'm not saying it's easy for any team.
Do you know, the thing about West Brom is, right, when I talked about them early on in the season, because I went to see them, you know, early on in the season, the first game of the season, I'm trying to think, it was against Leicester, was it? Yeah, Leicester. And after, you know, it looked okay for about 20 minutes and then they get sussed out. And then you realise, oh my goodness, no. They are going to really, really struggle. He's going to have to add big style to that team. Actually, that's exactly what he did. He added a good number of players who actually came on a little bit and have made a bit of a difference. And I thought they were a pleasure to watch. I thought they were really, really good. I mean, I do like what Slaven's positivity about it. I mean, he's really thought, right, there's no point in just sitting back and defending all the time. Let's try and play away at us, because if he's sitting back defending, he'll just get picked off anyway. So, and I don't think they're good enough to do that. So I was really impressed by the attitude that they showed, and they're doing a bit better than I expected them to do. But bringing even just a sensible thing, bringing like Ivanovic on, it makes perfect sense. And also, you don't play him in a back four, you play him in the back three, because he'll get absolutely destroyed in the back four because he'll not be quick enough anymore. So all these little bits of thinking. Gallagher's a really nice player. I don't know if you've seen much of him. He's a really good player. Came through at Chelsea and he was a really good young lad. And he's one of those ones that, remind me the name, the lad at Norwich last season going forward. Oh, his name's gone there for a minute. Lovely player going forward from the midfield. So not dissimilar to him in style.
Okay.
So, you know, they're a team that are enjoyable to watch, but they're still going to... They're going to be thereabouts going down by the end of the season. There's no doubt about that.
I know you're doing the City game tomorrow in the Champions League. So they were beaten by Spurs, 13th in the table, 3 wins from 8 games. They can't score by their standards. Mm-hmm. They just can't score. It's like they're between 17 and, 20 goals short of where they have been at this point early in the season, mm-hmm. which is extraordinary drop-off. Aguero or no Aguero. And the interesting news in the midst of it all, when it looked like, okay, this is kind of grinding to a halt in a Guardiola-esque way, is that he signed a 2-year deal. And, I mean, we touched on this last night in your absence with a fellow colleague journalist. We were kind of looking at Guardiola thinking, it had seemed to us like, you know, the end was nigh and this was, you know, coming to a natural end.
Mm-hmm.
Really interesting, he feels this is well worth staying on for 2 years. So what's he seeing in this group that we're not seeing?
Maybe the fact that he's getting certain players in that he thought that he was desperate to get. I mean, certainly Torres is one. You know, you're going to get more out of him. I think he also will look at it and think to himself, look, you know, there's two players that are missing. You know, Aguero's a big miss, and we know David Silva was as well. These are big ones, you know, to get yourself around. He also, within his own mind, might think it's not very far away. I thought they were mostly dominant for that team, even though they get beat 2-0. I think they had most of the play. And I think over the years, that's the way he's thought about it. You know, you will have bad times. If your team plays well, you have lots of possession and you create plenty of chances, it's fine. Sometimes you'll lose. And over the piece, you'll do okay. But I think it does feel as if this looks a wee bit transitional, this one. Mm. And whether he can get that together to make any sort of charge between now and the end of the season, I think it will depend on Aguero and his ability to get fit and be there scoring the way he was before. If you put Aguero at the front of that, I think they're scoring again. I think they're okay.
Yeah, fair point. Meanwhile, Jose, don't call it a comeback, Pat. He never left. I have to hold my hands up. I got this totally wrong. I just didn't see this working. And pre-lockdown, everything looked right on schedule for an early blow-up. And here he is.
You know, and do you know, if you looked at the league table, them and Chelsea are the two top goal scorers in the league. Honestly, Jose's team, okay, the 6 goals he scored against Manchester United, but you're looking at the possibilities of that, you know, that front line now. You know, if you get the best out of Bale and make sure he doesn't get too injured, the little adaptation in Kane's game, which is fantastic, you know, that dropping off into a slightly false nine role. And it turns out he's not only a brilliant goal scorer, he's an incredible creator of goals as well, using Son's pace. I mean, that is a very, very scary front line. And the one that I think all the chin strokers, and I'll put myself in that one, or the beard strokers, I think Ndombele, he's a big, big difference to them. He's really added something. And considering it really is kind of down to Josie, that one, because... You know, he treated him, he just basically gave him, read the riot act and explained to him that he was not part of it. And he seemed to understand the personality and what he needed. And he's absolutely getting the best out of him now. And I think that makes a big difference, because when you do that, then Josie kind of knows what to do at the back. You know, just pack out, kind of, it's nothing complicated, nothing sophisticated at the back. It's just numbers and it's just... beefy players in there, just make sure. And also, Reguilón was not a difficult one to get to see. If anybody saw him, they knew what he's made for the Premier League. So it looks, they're pretty close. I mean, it's almost, I'm trying to think, it's almost a year to the day since he came in.
Mm.
That's not long to turn it around. That really isn't long.
No, it's true. And, you know, I was reading Michael Cox, who often does tactical breakdowns of the game as well, was pointing out how either Sissoko or Højbjerg would drop into the back four at times and almost make it a back five and cut off all the channels. So there, you know, there is a sophistication in what he has done. But you do look at it and the way they beat Man City, and I know it's not how they play against everyone in Man City or a special case. Like, it is still pretty limited. It is Solskjaer at Spurs when he first started sitting back and sucker punching them on the counter. I mean, will there be a next evolution in this? Will we have the Jose that we saw when Duff and Robin were scoring lots of goals? Like, does he still have that in his back pocket, do we think, to get a team, you know, free-flowing as well as sucker-punching Man City? Because it still is a sucker-punch job.
Now, you do remember that I have positive feelings about Chelsea, but they weren't always that great to watch. Even at that time,
it was maybe like one winter, I think, where it was really good. Yeah.
there was long periods then where they got one goal, and then it was, right, stop. I can classically remember when John Terry was playing it back with Carvalho.
Yeah.
And Carvalho broke forward once, and Josie stood on the halfway line with his arm, like, straight out, saying, do not pass.
Yeah.
Just do not pass. He'll do that again.
That was miserable. I kind of was interested in them, and Mourinho was so compelling, and, you know, so. But, like, when Chelsea scored for a period, it was really, really bad as a neutral. Yeah. I kind of, and this is probably a silly media type thing, or, you know, just overestimating the extent to which football has changed, but I almost feel like that approach now is redundant. Like, that 1-0 shut up shop just can't work at the very top level anymore.
I wouldn't write any of them off. There's just so many things that have come back. Teams are using systems that I haven't seen for years, and suddenly they're working again with a different slant on it.
Right.
With Spurs, lots of managers will say to you, when the ones that are honest, football is actually a lot simpler than people give it credit for.
Yeah,
right?
Sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one of the simple things is, see if you've got Gareth Bale and Son, who are hugely fast, who are stupidly fast, right? And they can score goals. And you've got Harry Kane, who's a natural goal scorer. There's actually no need to be very complicated. All you need to do is get the ball up to them, hopefully having drawn the other team away a little bit, a bit of space for them to run into. It doesn't actually have to be any more sophisticated than that. And do I think that can happen again? Yeah, absolutely. Why not?
Shouldn't other teams, not least City at the weekend, have the smarts for 2 seconds to go, what do you think Spurs are hoping we do? Let's not quite do that. We don't have to commit so many forward and we can still dominate.
Well, the joy is, this is an ancient battle. This is the battle that Real Madrid and Barcelona had back in the day. It's exactly the same sort of idea. Been quite a few of those games, particularly 2 semi-finals of the Champions League, when Barca were at just about their best, and Jose was the Real Madrid manager, and he was trying to find a way how to destroy this fabulously beautiful, intricate machine, and he did it that way. And, you know, all for a bit of luck, he would have got through to the final that time. It was just one sending off that made the difference. And his players, player for player, weren't anywhere near as good as, and they weren't anywhere near as good a team. But if you find a way to win, that's how he'll do it. He is still absolutely exceptional at it. I'll be honest, I'm like you. I was, particularly in his Manchester United time, I'm thinking maybe that has gone now. But everything's cyclical. It comes back. And if it works and you've got the players to use it, use the players to the best of their ability.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we're looking for reasons. I was going to say for a second, maybe in this particular moment when there are so many games and it's COVID and it's difficult, that type of football is maybe easier to maintain or produce. But then, like, Harry Kane, it feels like is running 25 kilometres a game right now. So it's not like they're not putting in huge effort either. So I don't know. He seems to have connected with this group. What do you see in Bale's future at the moment? You know, what are the early signs on Bale and where he is?
Again, if it's purely injuries, that's all it is. It's purely injuries. If he can keep himself fit, and of course, you know, classically in the game, we'd say he's made of glass, you know, and every time anything happens to him, it goes down. But how much of it? And he will absolutely believe in himself that, no, every single injury was an absolute injury.
Yeah.
But if you're playing for somebody who you really want to play for, and if you're, you know, invested in the team, invested in your teammates, invested in the manager, you feel he's invested in you, there are certain injuries that you'll run through, that you'll put up with, you'll deal with. For another manager, they wouldn't. And I just think that's where he is just now. Mm. Gareth Bale's fitness is one thing, but his mental strength has to be helped by Jose Mourinho, and that's what it's down to, that relationship between them two. If that can be kept cushy, if that can be kept okay, I think it'll be fine. And I think more than fine.
Yeah.
It can be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, Gareth Bale's version of fine is pretty good. I barely touched on Liverpool this yesterday and this evening, obviously, and they did their thing at the weekend, 64 matches unbeaten and all sorts of players slotting into different places. So that is going on as well. Anything grabbing you over the weekend or at the moment that in the game that you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
No, just oddly enough, it's the little bit of a break after the international one. I was very intrigued to just see how everyone would react. Because the expectation is would be, you know, exhausting a certain players, the big teams would really struggle, all that sort of stuff. It's kind of not really happened, has it? They've kind of come back. They've had deep enough squads to it. And they're shooting themselves in the foot slightly because they all want, all the bigger teams want to get this five sub things brought in. If they keep on coming back from European nights and from the international breaks and they still win, They're not going to get anybody voting for it. So that's a bit of a shame for them because I do think it's probably worth going for the five subs. It's a bit unfair on the players just now because some of the injuries are getting a bit unfair on them.
Yeah.
I'd be tempted to do that. I know you won't be able to do it because you complicate football rules at your peril. But if there was any way to make sure you couldn't make any of those substitutions in the last 20 minutes, I'd be delighted because that's the problem.
I know.
You know,
10 subs a game is a lot. Like, it's back to this Svengoran Eriksson England friendly days. And
funnily enough, I love it in certain situations. Like, you know the way they do it so you can bring two or three on? They did it quite well last season. You know, they did it quite well for that period where, okay, then you can bring a set on amount on at half time.
Well,
and
yeah, okay. Okay, well, maybe five substitutions, but you can only do it three times, so you've got to bring on two at a time.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's exactly it. That's the only way we should be doing it. And if we keep it at that, I think there's because football, you will manipulate it. There's not a maybe that will be manipulated. So that was it. And another number of other people saying, you know, don't let anyone make a substitution in the last 5 minutes, you know, before, you know, the 85th minute onwards, unless it's a serious injury. Yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, there'll be some serious dramatics, to say the least.
Yeah.
And by the way, I didn't even mention it last night, so Sky Sports are being accused of censorship now because they didn't play the Jurgen Klopp-Jeff Shreves exchange on... Yeah, Jurgen very unhappy they've Champions League Wednesday and have the half 12 game against Brighton on Saturday and he went to town on Jeff Shreves and Sky didn't play it out. So that's still going on. That Champions League Saturday 12:30 kickoff is the one that really irks them. They hate that.
An away from home game and go back. Did it not happen to? Who did it happen to last week? No, it was Man United. Obviously.
Man United, Solskjaer. Remember they beat Everton. Yeah.
Exactly.
And the point was, Sky get first pick. They picked Liverpool City on the Sunday naturally. So BT had fairly average games, but for Everton United, so of course they picked that for lunchtime.
And it's the way it's kind of always been. You look at the teams on the continent, and they'll move their games to Fridays or Sundays, or they're cool about it, but television rules. But then television pays much more money than any other country in the world. So if you're going to accept all that money, I'm sorry, guys. You just got to take it on the chin. It will happen to you, Liverpool. It'll happen to you, Chelsea. It'll happen to you, Spurs or Man City. It'll just happen.
Well, if you can't get to watch the game and you hear Liverpool lose, it's probably worth checking in on the Des Kelly, Jurgen Klopp interview for 5 minutes at full time. I suspect it'll be fun.
Poor Des, he's a mate of mine. He come in, a DJ, Des turns up. Would you believe that? Des,
oh, really?
He stands in the middle of the dance floor, jumping about like a nutcase.
Okay.
It's the funniest thing. And I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, well, but by the way, without a hair out of place, this is important to
immaculate,
know, right?
Immaculate hair.
Absolutely. In fact, I'm going to tweet you a photo. I'm going to send you a photograph. I'll send you a photograph of Des last time he was down at my DJ. Okay. And now it's hilarious.
Well, I'll be thinking of him if he has to ask Jurgen Klopp what went wrong today. First question. Right. Thanks a million. Cheers, Pat.
Speak to you soon. Take care.
All right. Pat Nevin there with us, as usual, usually on a Monday, but once a week for sure. So where are we latest? Still no goals at Old Trafford in the second half, but United are 3-0 up and very comfortable. PSG in their group 1-0 up on Leipzig. I'll check what that means for the group, actually. Who was on top there? Oh, so that means PSG will go to 6 points, Leipzig will be on 6 points, and United will go to 9 points. That's where they'll be in Group H. In Group G, Juventus 1-1 in their game with Ferencváros, and Barcelona now 3-0 up away to Dinamo Kiev this evening. So Barcelona in control there. Let me see who scored in that game. Braithwaite scored twice, and Sergiño Dest scored for Barcelona as the opener. Elsewhere, Borussia Dortmund 3, Club Brugge 0, and Lazio 3-1 winners at home to Zenit St. Petersburg. Earlier on today, if you're just tuning in, Chelsea and Sevilla in their group, done and dusted, both 1-2-1, and both are through already. Chelsea and Sevilla through to the knockout stages in Group E.
Football on Off the Ball
with Paddy Power, fueling the mischief in the beautiful game. Gamble responsibly. See dunlewy.net.